Blog Talk Radio.
So tell me why, so tell me why, tell me why must the clouds come in the sky? Tell me why must the clouds come in the sky? This is the wake of the sun. He lost his life on the solar day.
It is a time of very
wrong of that energy. And Ra, I guess it's up to you to cast circle now and begin.
Okay. Let's all visualize for our circle cast. So, pretend as if we're standing in a circle now, facing each other. Put both your arms in front of you, touching everyone else's hands in the center. Now slowly take 5 steps backwards while you're raising your arms. When your arms are as far back as you can get them, separate them and hold them to the sides, again, as far as you can. You'll be touching hands with the people on your left and your right, making a circle. So envision this circle stretching out to encompass all who are working with us this evening. But we have created a time within a time and a space within a space. The circle is cast. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Stan?
I call this night to the goddess, the great mother. The great mother of the first harvest. I ask that you come this night and join with us. Celebrate in the abundance of the crops, the abundance of the flowers, and the abundance of all that has been created and grown here on this planet. I ask that you join us now and share with us. I bid you hail and welcome.
Hail.
And welcome.
And welcome.
I now address to God Lu. This night is named for you. This is your celebration. Come forth now and rejoice. Share with us. Share with us the love of the earth. Share with us the love of all that has been provided. Join us now. I bid you hail and welcome.
Hail.
Hail.
Welcome.
Welcome.
To the ancestors, I call forth. You have attended many of these celebrations. You have reveled in the abundance of the crops, the fullness of all the flowers and blooming of the trees. Come now, join us again this night. Celebrate one more festival with us. Share with us your love. Share with us your passion. Share with us your knowledge. I bid you hail and welcome.
Hail.
Hail.
And welcome.
And welcome.
Rick?
I call upon the four directions. Earth, O thou gnomes of earth, correlating to the body, I call upon these gnomes to open the inner places, the oven of the earth, that first bread may come forth. I call upon the air in the east, the sifts, and the air of the intellect. I call upon the light and fleet sifts of the east, to make fleet our feet, O thou all-penetrating air of intellect and wisdom, that the bread may rise. I call upon the south and the fire, the salamanders of inspiration. I call upon you, bright and burning salamanders of fire, spread their inspiration, light our way through the darkness, and heat the bread of the first harvest. O the waters of the west, the undines, the water of our emotion, I call upon the waters of the west, the undines, to wash us and grant us release from our thirst, that we might drink when we eat the first bread, and in the center, the spirit. I call upon all these four corners and the fifth, wherein are we as a babe in an egg. I call you forth. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Sorry, guys. I backwards it. Davron?
We're going to do a meditation this evening for the first harvest. Now, in earlier rituals, for those of us who were with us, our dearly departed, blessed Reverend Michael Fenwick had us work with some stones, and we're going to work with those again this evening. For our purposes tonight, those stones will be seeds, as we shall become seeds. To begin, I want everyone to get into a comfortable position. I want you to relax. I want you to breathe deeply. I want you to feel your breath moving in and out of you as you relax. I want you to feel the parts of your body that are touching the floor blend together with the floor, softening the surface beneath you, noticing less and less where you end and the floor begins as you breathe. Clutch your stone in your hand and feel it pulse with the energies already present within it. Breathe. Imagine that you are sitting at the base of a tree in a field of blowing grain, golden as the summer sun sets upon it. The wind waves through the grain, causing waves as if water flowing, glowing. Breathe. Feel yourself tight and full, like a seed. You are resting on the ground. Slowly feel yourself slip down into the warm, moist earth. Cover yourself completely in this feeling of warmth and moisture. Feel yourself slipping a little bit down, further down into the earth, where it becomes cooler and more moist and darker. Breathe in the cool, dark, moist earth. You feel yourself becoming less tight as the earth's moisture softens your seed shell. You sense an urge to unwind, releasing the tightness and allowing your full potential to push forth. Feel your legs bend at the knee as your feet push further downward as if they were roots. Feel your feet grow and spread deep, deep down into the earth. Feel your arms unwind and your fingers and head sprout through the earth's surface, bursting forth. Feel your arms now reaching and growing stronger and reach for the sky, flattening and widening to drink in all that is good, all of the brilliance of the sun, all of the power of the universe that surrounds you, filling you with your desire. Feel your potential expand with your growth as your feet pulse deeper into the cool, moist earth and your body rises to meet the sun, growing and expanding, increasing with strength, increasing with purpose. Feel the power course through you. Feel the energy bursting through you that you need to fulfill your desires. Breathe in the sunlight. Breathe in the coolness and the moisture of the earth. Feel yourself waving in the breeze, following and mimicking the waves within the grain before you, merging with all life that's around you, becoming one with all that is and with the universe. Filled with energy and now ready to burst, gently you lift yourself to your full height, standing now feet above the ground, arms raised above your head. Feel the energy of your full self moving around you. Feel this energy beginning to spiral slowly at first at your feet, twisting as it rises, wrapping you, lifting you up, spreading you out, manifesting your desire. Feel the energy move faster as it spirals up your body, circling your head, circling your arms, gathering momentum to your hands. You feel your potential rise to its fullest, pulsing for release. Breathe in the sunlight, breathe in the moisture of the cool earth, and spread your fingertips wide. Draw in all of the energy that you can. Expand and rippling this energy through you. And now, in a deep breath, send the energy out. Feel it rush from you, expanding. See the grain bend as your energy pushes it. Feel your energy become manifest in the world. Breathe. You now feel both empty and full at the same time. Your abstract desires are now a tangible part of you. Gently lower your arms to your side and feel the earth's surface hard beneath your feet. The edges of your physical self become more rigid as your body's boundaries return. Breathe and breathe. Now you are slowly beginning to become aware more of the sounds around you, the sense of the floor underneath you, and the people in the circle. Breathe deeply as you slowly open your eyes and return to us. Still feeling the height of this energy, grasp your stone that has been previously prepared and charged, and send forth this energy of blossoming, growth, expansion of your potential, and attainment of your desires and dreams. Send this energy down into the stone where it will remain and where it can pour forth and continue to help you manifest your desires and achieve your fullest potential as the harvest time continues. Rejoin us now and relax. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Using the stones as seeds, I'm going to plant mine. How about that?
That's an excellent idea.
One of my favorite trees here. Yeah. Well, they're seeds. They should be planted, right?
That's true.
Correct. So that they can grow and blossom into what you have sent into them.
That's right.
Maybe it'll grow into a big stone obelisk or something.
There we go. Into a cairn, right? Yeah.
Right.
Hey, that could be okay, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have something. I can't think of llamas without this. So I want to read... it's a song, but I will spare you all and read it because I love you. So, here we go. John Barleycorn, Must Die. There were three men came out of the West, their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn must die. They've plowed, they've sown, they've harrowed him in. Threw clods upon his head, and these three men made a solemn vow. John Barleycorn was dead. They've let him lie for a very long time, till the rains from heaven did fall. And little Sir John sprung up his head, and so amazed them all. They've let him stand till Midsummer's Day, till he looked both pale and wan. And little John's grown a long, long beard, and so became a man. They've hired men with their scythes so sharp to cut him off at the knee. They've rolled him and tied him by the way, serving him most barbarously. They've hired men with their sharp pitchforks who've pricked him to the heart. And the loader, he has served him worse than that, for he's bound him to the cart. They've wheeled him around and around a field till they came onto a pond, and there they made a solemn oath on poor John Barleycorn. They've hired men with their crabtree sticks to cut him skin from bone, and the miller, he has served him worse than that, for he's ground him between two stones. And little Sir John and the nut-brown bowl and his brandy in the glass, little Sir John and the nut-brown bowl proved the strongest man at last. For the huntsman, he can't hunt the fox, nor so loudly to blow his horn. And the tinker, he can't mend kettle or pots without a little barley corn. So the first time I heard that, it was at a Lammas ritual on the shores of Lake Michigan. And a man sang it with no accompaniment. And, I mean, it was so, you know, all these things they did, all this torture, and I was like, oh, my God, until I actually got it, you know? And because, well, my goodness, all these things, you can imagine them doing that to, like, a person, which is what it sounds like. And then just an aside, the person who sang that became my partner for several years. How about that? But, you know, he had a beautiful voice.
I think not.
And this was lovely. And then when I got it, it's like, oh, okay, you know, got it. Barley, first harvest. It's a perfect song for this time of year, I think.
Yeah.
I was thinking today on how I played that album, the Graphic, till it was, the grooves were gone. I adored that album and that song.
See, I like I said, I didn't know it till he sang it. But it was, I think, well, I was looking it up and trying to get the words. Steve Winwood's band did it. But, you know, the lyrics basically have been around since at least in the 1500s. And in the 1700s, Robert Burns wrote approximately what I read. But, of course, I don't have the Scottish accent or the words or anything. But, and I remember about Robert Burns because he was a favorite of my grandmother's, Bobby Burns. So this is an old, old song, and it may have gone through a few, you know, changes along the way, but it pretty much says it all, and I love it. So you guys, what are some good or not so good Lammas memories, or what do you like to do for Lammas? That would be a good question.
Eat.
Well, there you have it.
Fresh baked things, fresh salads out of the garden. Have a nice little fest of good eats and breads and fellowship. And you couldn't ask for more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One of our guys.
I've got a story.
Oh, okay, let's hear a story.
Well, you mentioned planting a stone.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of an amazing story I heard with most curious complications. I was a friend to a gentleman who was, should we say, a business manager for a cultural council. This is in the south area of Florida, south of Miami. And he was a business manager of a cultural council, but oddly enough, he was of the subcontinent, India, extraction, but these liberals seem to be put off by his race and his culture. And what made it even particularly more odd was that he was a very Christian Indian gentleman. And one day we were talking, and he thought I was about as curious a thing as he'd ever seen, because here I was, a Westerner who was very, very engaged in comparative religion and could quote chapter and verse from the Ramayana, the Bhagavad Gita, the Torah, the Upanishads. And he had never met a Westerner who was, well, let's say, so well-versed in religious materials. So we were chatting one day, and I told him I thought it was odd that here in this cultural group, where one would expect to find people of a little more broad-mindedness, and one might hope that racism wasn't quite as obvious as it was, he said, you know, what makes it really strange to me is, he said, I'm not a Hindu. And he sort of thought that because he was a Christian Indian, he should be accepted by fellow Christians, but unfortunately, they weren't open-minded enough to that. And I said, you know, I bet there's a good story as to how your family became Christian. He said, oh, my goodness gracious, do you want to hear that story? And I said, absolutely. I said, but I'll warn you, I collect stories and I will pass it along. So here's what he told me. His family was one of Indian royalty during the British colonization, the original colonization of India. And his grandfather, a Maharaj, decided that, well, the safest thing to do was to get along with these Brits and go ahead and adopt their religion. So he decided, and he ordered all his kingdom to adopt Christianity. Well, everybody went along except the gentleman I was talking to, his grandmother. The wife of the Maharaj would not convert to Christianity. So it was a great matter of contention, because it was not only his family, but his wife, who was the one person to reject this conversion, right? So my friend was the grandson of this couple, right? And he said, but it all came to a head one day when, at the traditional Lingam festival. Now, this is where your comment about burying the stone cued me to this. His grandmother woke up one morning and got the whole household in an uproar, because she had dreamt that Shiva had appeared to her in a dream and said that if she went for a pilgrimage 20 miles to the Ganges, to a particular spot that she knew, if she went there on this pilgrimage, she would find a Shiva Lingam. And his grandfather said, no, you will not go. And she said, well, I'll tell you what. You do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And the whole village turned out. And many of the women followed her on this 20-mile walk to that particular part of the river where she had been told in the dream, when Shiva appeared to her, to go to that part of the river and dig, because she would find a Shiva Lingam. And I said, and He said, well, when she got there, there was no sign of anything. But when she began to dig, she found a Shiva lingam.
Wow.
And they paraded that lingam back, and it was made a new altar in their home. So her husband had his crucifix, and she had the Shiva lingam.
Wonderful. Yay, Grandma.
Exactly.
So that was the unplanting of the stone.
I hope you're writing that one down in one of your
but
books.
Look, it blossomed. And
pass
it came
along
to fruit.
As Herman Melville might have said, she rises.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, that makes me wonder when like Grandpa ordered everyone to convert. Like, they've done that so many times in the past. And how can you order people who have some type of beliefs to just switch over? I mean, they can do it, if they go ahead and keep their beliefs and keep them hidden. But to actually expect them to just convert because you tell them to? My goodness. And Grandma there sounds like she had a mind of her own. So,
yeah, woman of spirit, for sure.
Yeah, good for her. So that's sort of strange then that the man you talked to decided to go the Christian way and not the Hindu way.
Well, he was still trying to be a good boy for Grandpa, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Grandpa said. Okay.
He was probably quite young at the time and really didn't have a choice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You have
because
to take that
Aaron's
into
Aaron's
followed
Grandpa, so he would, yeah. Yeah. Good story, Rick.
Thank you.
Has anyone had any dreams in the last week or so?
You're breaking up. I couldn't understand you.
Has anyone had any dreams lately, the last week or so, that have been unusual?
Uh-huh.
I have, which is odd you should mention. I found myself in the most magnificent setting, and it was very Lamassi. I was by a river, and there were enormous mountains, the most glorious, vivid reality. I mean, this was a very real, tangible scene with verdant fields and meadows in front of it and strange creatures that I can't quite describe, but that weren't quite earthly creatures. And the mountains didn't look like anything I'd ever seen. Tall, imposing cliff faces reaching high above this verdant valley. And it was just spectacular. So spectacular, it actually woke me up. So it's odd you should mention that. But yes, I did have some unusual dreams.
Wow.
Don't know about anyone else.
I've also had a couple of dreams. Can you hear me?
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking
we
up.
We can get the gist of it. We can get the gist of it, though.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I got you. No, I had a very strange dream. I dreamt I had a phallus. And it was fully on gear. Did you hear me?
It was fully what?
It was fully working. I don't know how to put it politely on air. But I dreamt that. And I know if I were pregnant what it would mean, but I'm not. So I had to go and figure it out. It's a good thing, but it was a crazy dream. And I wonder how people, it was very vivid. And I've heard two other people that have had these dreams that have been very, you'll have dreams in your life you remember, you know?
Sure, sure. Well, I had an unusual dream. I was helping produce a festival, and I had just enough time to go home and relax before the actual event happened. So I was going to rent a car and drive home. But when I got in the car to drive home, it was a two-seater airplane, kind of like a World War II plane. And for some reason, I decided to sit in the back. Why, I don't know, because you could see much less from the back. And as I was preparing to take off, an older woman, very thin, nicely appointed, with a charming gray hair, sort of 1920s style, climbed into the front seat. And I said, excuse me, I was about to leave. And she said, oh, I know. Could you just drop me off? I was going south to a town called Homestead. She wanted to go north to a town called Fort Lauderdale, about 50 miles out of my way. And I said, well, actually, you're really going in the opposite direction. She said, oh, it's okay. You can drop me off anyway. And I thought, well, I'm sure she's here for a reason. I'm sure I should do this. It's probably the right thing to do. So I took off, fully intended to fly her to Fort Lauderdale. Like I said, about 100 miles out of my way.
Okay.
That's just weird. I love the plane, though. Oh.
Well, my weird experience isn't necessarily a dream I remember. I just know I dreamed, and I haven't dropped into REM for about 8 or 9 weeks. And it was extremely vivid, like I was walking around inside a movie. I have no idea where I was. It was in this time period. It was in a neighborhood somewhere. There were people around, nothing spectacular happening. And then I woke up. But like I said, it's the first time I've dreamed in 8 or 9 weeks. So that was kind of strange. And it wasn't a neighborhood I recognized, like memories from an old neighborhood or anything. Had no idea where this place was.
Those are the best dreams where you're clearly in an environment that you've never experienced, can't come from your memory, and in some cases is so bizarre or different or vivid that you can't even imagine movie producers making up some of the things you see. And that's when you know you're really traveling to somewhere different and that this isn't simply a standard dream of memories and fragments.
No, I think this is astral traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I think actually happens because of all the things you were talking about. It's not just a normal dream.
Right.
No. I don't think I've had anything too unusual lately, except I did, it wasn't a dream. It woke me up, like something was sticking in my arm, but I just sort of batted it away and turned over and remembered it in the morning. And I have, you guys would not believe all the marks on my body that I don't know. I mean, some are cats, but some I don't know where I've been getting them. It's rather strange. But my dreams have been pretty normal for me, I think, lately. Yeah.
Well, normal for you, what does that mean to a normal person?
Well, you know. normal is all in perspective, right?
Yes,
exactly.
Another thing that I remember from good lamases, again, most of these were like near Lake Michigan. A friend who's crossed over now would bake a loaf of bread or small loaves. And he did, a couple of years, he did the anatomically correct little ones for men and women, and used sliver almonds and things. And so, you know, just, you know, our gods and goddesses are quite humorful, quite comedic sometimes. They enjoy, so it always worked. But I have to say I do miss those. But, yeah, I think a nice loaf of good bread is something for llamas. Also, I've had a few of my little grape tomatoes, and they're really, really sweet. So that's been nice.
See, there's your salad fresh from the garden.
Exactly.
With the fresh bread. With the fresh bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like that bread salad. Right.
It's the perfect celebration.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, sometimes, you know, the closer, the more simpler things, the better. We don't have to have something always extremely fancy and expensive and in certain kinds of locations to have a celebration or to give thanks or something.
For it to be real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes,
you know,
it's more real.
It's more important to be real than to be fancy or showy or...
Yeah. I agree.
But again, like I said, I'm in it for the food. Of course, I'm the guy that's trying to gain weight. So if anybody has any they want to donate, I'd be happy.
Delighted. I will send them along.
Yeah.
Ship it to Stan.
Ship it away.
You know, I need to wait.
Yeah, one good thing I have to say about eating a good vegan diet, not eating junk food, but not eating processed food, there is no limit. Like, you just keep eating because you have to eat to keep your calories up. So I really enjoy that. I'm glad that this is the way I'm living. So I don't have to watch that so much. So, yeah.
Dave?
Yes. Yeah.
You're in Albany, but do you ever get down towards the Finger Lakes?
Oh, yes, all the time. I love it out there.
I used to live and walk in Flynn, but, you know, the little wineries used to also grow special table grapes. And I remember them, boy. Those table grapes were nothing, like no place else on earth. They were just absolutely...
Oh, yeah. The Finger Lakes has some of the best grapes you can find. It's a perfect growing condition. And Watkins Glen is just such a nice, charming little town.
It is.
It's got the racetrack there, too, but it's also such a charming little town surrounded by such magnificent beauty and country. Wonderful area.
Yeah,
I think Finger Lakes also have Sasquatch activity. Of course, a lot of places has that, but the Finger Lakes sound like a lovely place. We need to.
Oh, yeah. They definitely are.
Yeah.
Next time you're here, we'll take a road trip.
Yeah, okay. And it's probably rather expensive around there now, isn't it? Pricey?
Depends where you're at. Like, Ithaca is fairly expensive where Cornell is.
Right.
Other areas are very cheap because they're somewhat more remote. It's a huge expanse, a very large area. So it varies. There are, you know, the closer you are to one of the little quaint towns dotting the lake or one of the vineyard areas, probably the more expensive it is. And then there'll be miles and miles and miles of countryside. It varies, but it's fairly expensive.
There are still some little motel-type places around Hammondsport, going into Hammondsport on Cuba there.
Yes, and some gorgeous inns, too. Very beautiful bed and breakfast and inns out there.
Sounds lovely. Yeah, the first harvest is, I was going to say, like, this is a good time to start thinking about autumn travel. But, I mean, any time's a good time to travel. But you're talking about New York, and I am thinking about New York and further north for the autumn, where it's, you know, just so beautiful, and a lot of tourists go to change to see the changing of leaves and things. And but this year, who knows? Because the weather is so strange, it may even reflect up there like that. I don't know. We will see.
Don't they call them the leafers? The people who come for the leaves, the change in color.
Yeah.
Really?
The leafers.
Love that. I never heard that. I love that.
I've heard it, leaf peepers.
Yeah.
Leaf peepers, too. We call them leafers.
Yeah, when my cousin...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when my cousin graduated from high school, her neighbor, an older lady who really appreciated my cousin because she helped her out a lot, she took her on a trip then that fall to see the leaves in New England. And so I guess they were leafers, too. I'll have to tell Stacy. Yeah. I think that's funny, leafers. Okay. I'm sorry, Gwen, go ahead.
I used to really, you know, it sounds strange, but between Rochester and I was out on the western side of the state, between Rochester and down in Watkins, there are all these lovely old graveyards with huge trees in them. And I used to tour around through those and take pictures. They were beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Every season
Well, we
has...
wish you were all here. We would take you to all these places and do some amazing things.
There you
like
go.
New York is
yeah.
Places, especially this time of year as the harvest begins. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And now is when... farmers markets really get going. I mean, they've been, you know, they have them all, depending on where you live, they have them all year some places. But now is when a lot of things are so fresh. And
yes.
If you're near any of those, please go to them. Check them out. Help your local farmers.
I'm very fortunate that in my building we have a weekly, I work at a, in downtown Albany, and we have a farmer's market that comes in every Thursday, and they also have a new program where we can purchase a share of their crops, and it's a collective, and we can order it, and every week they come and deliver us packages you can get from small to very large, of seasonally fresh produce and products that have been made there, ranging from cheeses to honeys to eggs to the most magnificent assortment of vegetables locally grown that you can imagine. And it's always such a surprise every week to open the package and see what's there this week. And it's wonderful. We have some magnificent farmers markets, which I think are just a fantastic thing. And if you haven't gone to one, you absolutely should. You get the best, freshest possible quality produce that you can imagine, as well as some other neat things, too, sometimes. Baked goods and all kinds
of
things.
Well, and so you're helping your own health, and you're helping the farmers, because we need to support our small farms all we can.
Absolutely.
So, but, yeah.
I have to ask you, Dave, do you drive out in the country much around the farms?
I don't get the opportunity to often just take pleasure trips out that way, but I travel extensively for work. And I work for the State University of New York, and we have 64 campuses spread all over the state of New York. So, yes, I do get to take work trips. And in a rental car, nonetheless, so I'm not terribly concerned about beating it up as I go down some of these roads. And I'll often take leave early or stay late or go out while I'm there and take extensive tours. So I've probably been on just about every square inch of the state. And really, we from ocean beaches on Long Island to Niagara Falls to the beauty of the Hudson Valley up into the glorious Finger Lakes and to the majesty of the Adirondack Mountain. Really, we've got it all in New York. I know I sound a bit like a tourism board, but it is really an underappreciated, and many of these areas are pretty underappreciated, particularly like the Finger Lakes. Such a magnificent state.
It is beautiful. I was when I was living up there and going to school, and my family's from Rochester, so summers would go back up and such. My mom was so tickled to see, you know, on the roads between like Penyan and Cuca, what all those Mennonite farms and stuff. The truck
was
on the roadside with a little box with a lock on it and all that fresh produce. And I swear we stopped at every one and grabbed something. It was always just a fresh pick.
My favorite ones are, you see this occasion, I don't know if you see it so much anymore, but I remember as a child, my father's family was from Rochester, and we used to often head out that way in the surrounding areas. And often as you're driving through the country, the best ones to see, and I hope they still do it, you'd see a big bin of ears of corn or apples or some kind of fruit or vegetable and a little box next to it and nobody there manning it.
It's an honor-based
system. Take what you want and give a donation. And I just hope they still do such things, but what charm. And
I've seen that here in Illinois. A few places.
I've seen it in southern Indiana also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly around the Amish communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's mostly where I tend to see it too.
Yeah.
When I was a kid going to school up in Howie and Hill, there were places among the orange groves where they had bags of oranges that you could buy for a dollar, and they had a box like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was like a bag.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Mm. Of fresh oranges.
So what are you all going to do for Lammas besides eat?
I'm actually going to do some late year planting, but I mean here in Florida we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Florida we can do that.
Now.
Well, those of you who live in the great frozen white north.
That's us, Dave. The great frozen white north.
That's us. I know.
I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to
take
some by or under a tree.
Oh, nice.
And just be with the tree.
Okay.
That says I should do that. And I'll give the ground my gift.
Excellent. Well, I, this weekend, am actually going to take a trip into the country. It's odd. I'd like to say I thought of it just because of our conversation here, but I'd already been thinking, wouldn't it be nice to just take a pleasurable trip? So I'm going to drive out, and I'm going to drive down our historic Route 20 all the way through beautiful, beautiful countryside, heading towards the Finger Lakes. So we're going to go towards Cooperstown region and things. So that'll be a beautiful trip, I think.
Yeah.
That should be nice. There's some really nice countryside out around Cooperstown.
Yeah, there really is.
Mm. I don't know if I'm going to get away this weekend, but I know tomorrow. I'm running low on veggies. I'm going to go and get veggies, but unfortunately no farmer's market or anything. This is a store, but you know, we've been talking about bread, so I'm going to make some kind of bread I don't know what kind, but to me, it's a llama thing. Yeah.
You make yummy bread.
I love bread. I'm going to make it in a whole other thing. I'm sounding like a commercial here. Hey, we'll talk about it later if anybody wants to talk about air fryers. Oh, my God. Do it. I have made in the last, week and a half since I've had it, I've made fries, orange sweet potato fries, red potato fries, russet potato fries. I made falafel, kale chips.
Wow.
Crunchy garbanzos, biscuits, tortilla chips, what else? Anyway, in the air fryer, no oil. And they are all wonderful.
Wow.
So, a lot of people get them so they can have French fries, and that's excellent. But I just, started in experimenting. And I highly suggest air fryers.
Just so you all know, we have 3 minutes left.
Oh.
What did you say? I didn't catch it.
We have three minutes left.
Probably closed down now.
Yeah. Well, if we only have 3 minutes, I thought we were going to have extra time. Well, then let us just say very fast goodbyes, everyone.
They call upon the four elements and thank them for their gifts and send them back into the ether.
Some I call upon the ancestor, the god, the goddess. Thank you for your presence. You may now go. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So the circle is open, but never broken. As above, so below. As the universe, so the soul. As without, so within. Merry meet and merry part, and merry meet again.
Merry
you can
meet
find
again.
Ben right here where we are. You can find Rick at PPN. Yeah?
PNN.
Oh, my God. You can find Davron, Stan, and I at newaeonchurch.org. And I'm sorry, CNN, yes. Progressive News Network is Rick. So thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you for having me in this ritual tonight.
Have a blessed Lammas.
Oh, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Live to your full potential and get out and enjoy the earth.
Exactly. Out there. Okay. Good night.
Later, folks.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, Rick.